Hello, hello, hello. Thank you guys for tuning in today to Section 119. We're going to be talking about all things Aggie sports right now. But first, let me introduce you to the wonderful gentleman that I'm here with.
Daniel Hansen.
Trevor Porath.
And me, Jaden Johnson. We got a lot to go over today. We're going to talk a little bit about... we're going to start out talking with some soccer. And the women's soccer team is just killing it right now. We'll go a little bit more into detail with that, but we're also going to talk about the football team. Unfortunately, I didn't want to. These guys are making me. Not really. That's not the truth.
But we kind of have to. People want to hear about it, even though it's terrible. But
we have like a moral, you know, it's like an obligation at this point.
It's like nobody wants to follow the presidential election at this point, but we kind of have to.
You feel like you should.
You know, even if you just sweep the dust under the rug, it's still there, so you don't have to take care of it. You know, some other time anyways, might as well just get out of the way.
Yeah. So we'll be talking about that. Also be hitting on some volleyball points later in the podcast, as well as talking about basketball, which starts this week. Get stoked. But soccer is the highlight of the university right now, so let's start there.
So for those of you, I mean, I know that a lot of people have a hard time following with all of the USU clubs, not the club sports, the USU like Olympic sports and the non-football basketball sports that are going on. But if you're doing that, you're missing out big time because
you could actually be happy that your team wins.
Exactly. If you're an Aggie fan and you're only watching football right now, you're not a very happy Aggie fan.
In fact, but if you're an Aggie fan, if you actually are an Aggie fan.
But if you're an Aggie fan and you're watching football right now, you're pretty happy.
Especially because you're watching football.
Exactly. So the USU women's soccer team is killing it. Just killing it. So this season, I know we've talked about them a little bit in the past shows. They went 7-4 in conference play, dropping a few right at the end. For a while, they were at the very top of the Mountain West. Last week, they went to Boise State, who's a very good soccer team, and they beat them 6-1 on their own field. And then just here within just yesterday, we're recording this on, what day is it, Wednesday? So on Tuesday, they went and to the Mountain West tournament, and they played number 5 Wyoming and came out with a 2-1 win, with Wyoming's lone goal coming in like the 89th minute.
It was like 87th.
It was 2-0 for pretty much the entire game, but we scored, I think, both of our goals in the first half. Was that what it was?
I believe so. I didn't watch it. I just kind of followed along. But, I mean, soccer fan or not, this team is awesome, and they have a really, really good shot to be able to bring us our second Mountain West championship that we've ever had at Utah State.
This is the semifinal that they're in, I think, tomorrow, actually, on Thursday. They play number 1 UNLV, so it's going to be a difficult game, of course. I mean, UNLV's number 1 seed for a reason. But it's going to be neutral field in San Diego.
And you know what? And I was telling you this before the show. We played UNLV just... I think it was only 2 weeks ago at UNLV. We had a scoreless draw in regulation, went to overtime, and they ended up getting the best of us 1-0. But that's certainly like, I mean, we're the number 4 seed in this tournament, going to play the number 1 seed. But it's a very winnable thing. And they win that, they're in the championship.
Yeah, and the other side of the bracket right now is just San Diego State and San Jose State. So, I mean, I'm not going to profess to be an expert on the functionings of Mountain West women's soccer, but there's a decent chance, especially with soccer being as crazy as it is, as unpredictable as it is, it's pretty easy to see us clanging in one off a crossbar in this game and somehow emerging as Mountain West Conference champions.
And the team has shown very consistently throughout the season they can hang in there with every team in the conference. There's no question about that. They can hang right in there or beat the best teams in the conference. Like I said, for a while, they were the best team in the conference. If they hadn't dropped a couple on the road right towards the end, we very well may be the number 2, number 1 seed in this thing. So it's not a world of difference between us at number 4 and UNLV at number 1. I really like the team's chances. And, I mean, just how huge would that be to get another Mountain West Championship for Utah State?
It'd be huge. And again, kind of just going through the schedule, see how we played the 3 teams left in the tournament. We beat San Jose State 2-1 when they played here back in October. At San Diego State, we lost 2-1, but that's still not too bad of a loss. And then at UNLV, like you said, 1-0 in overtime. So, I mean, none of these teams have really, I mean, swept the floor with us. We're coming into the tournament hot. I mean, we beat Boise State 6-1 just like 2 weeks ago. So, I like our chances.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch.
I think the only team we lost by more than 1 point in the conference is New Mexico, which is not in it anymore. So, because they beat us 2-0. And so, by 1 point, it can be something that goes either way. You know, it just could be one little mix-up this way or a mix-up that way.
Watching Real all year, we kind of know that already.
We're not talking about that. Long story short, if you want to be a happy Aggie fan right now, watch the soccer team, because they have a very good shot to make you a happy Aggie fan right now, unlike the football team. So speaking of beating Wyoming, like the soccer team just did, the football team is probably not going to do that this weekend. What do you say?
I'm a little more hopeful, I guess, than you with this game. I think Wyoming's definitely a good team, but I think we still have a shot in this game. I mean, it's really possible that Wyoming has a bit of a letdown after such an emotional win last week against Boise State. I think that's really our only chance, is that they have that emotional letdown. But
maybe Boise State's going to cast what they did on us after we beat them last year. They're going to go 9-3 in their next 12 games now.
Or like 3-12 or whatever it is now.
Yeah, 3-14 or something like that.
I wouldn't get my hopes up. Here's the thing that I really like. I mean, I don't like Wyoming. I remember back like being younger, back in the Utah and BYU, being in the Mountain West days. I remember Wyoming was actually like a force to be reckoned with, and they were always right there in the run of things, and I think that they're about to have a reemergence like that. Craig Bull is an excellent coach, coming from a FCS. Didn't he come from North Dakota State? One of the Dakotas?
Something like that.
I mean, I know he's very successful at the FCS level, and I like when coaches make that transition, and I think that he's going to continue to have a ton of success at Wyoming as long as he's there.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people actually kind of comparing what he's building at Wyoming to kind of what Gary did here at Utah State, with building just a really solid, fundamentally sound football team that actually emerges somewhat surprisingly to contend for a conference championship. You look at Wyoming right now, they control their own destiny. I mean, they went out, they're in the conference championship, probably facing San Diego State, and I'm not going to say that I had this, but did you guys even think Wyoming had a shot at the conference championship to start the season?
No.
No, not for me. I mean, I thought that they'd be somewhat competitive, and a large part of that is because of their running back, Brian Hill. That guy is an animal. I mean, we talk about Mountain West Conference having really good running backs with guys like Donnell Pumphrey. Brian Hill may have the best NFL career, I think, out of any of the Mountain West running backs or the running backs that we've seen this year. I think he is for real.
Well, yeah, I saw like on ESPN they had a segment talking about like top five running backs, because last year was like you had McCaffrey, Fournette, all these guys from top tier schools that were leading the country in rushing yards. This year it's Pumphrey out of San Diego State. You've got Brian Hill's
number
Wyoming.
Two.
You've got, I think, also like Eastern Michigan's guys up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Jamal Williams at BYU is in the top five.
So, oh, and he's killing it.
Like, so you've seen like this.
And Lamar Jackson is number 9.
Yeah, that's an entirely different story on itself. So, I mean, it's cool to see this resurgence of like running backs at the lower levels just absolutely dominating.
Well, and then, of course, Jeremy McNichols at Boise State. He's shown Utah State what he's made of a couple of times here.
And, I mean, if Devontae Mays was healthy the entire season, who knows where he would have been.
Yep. I mean, so we're talking about – this is kind of remarkable. I would like to see some more, like, information on whether this has happened before. This year, Utah State will play – as long as things stand as they currently are – Utah State will play 4 of the top 10 running backs in the country, yardage-wise, in Donnell Pumphrey, Brian Hill, Jamal Williams, and Jeremy McNichols.
That's
because you've got Donnell Pumphrey at 1, Brian Hill at number 2, and then McNichols at 7 and Jamal Williams at 10. That's pretty remarkable.
And you know what's really cool with that, actually? Like, I'm glad you pointed that out. because our rushing yardage allows, it's not like terrific. It's not the amazing amount we've had in years past. But I mean, we're still holding a pretty decent rush defense, despite the fact we've played already three of those, well, now two of those top running backs, and now the third one coming on Saturday. So I mean, it's a very small thing to get hope from for this football team, but the fact they're at least putting up a decent fight against some stellar talent like this, it looks impressive at least.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how this game goes this weekend. I really don't think we have much of a shot. I'm not saying that Wyoming is like the real deal. I don't think that they are yet. I think that they're on the verge of being the real deal. But I think this is one of those games that we go and we probably come out losing by three touchdowns or so.
I give us a decent shot in this game simply because of the factor of their emotional win last week. I mean, they beat Boise State also on a safety, which I don't think I've ever seen a game win on a team win on a game-winning safety. So
especially like a fumble out the back of the end zone like that.
Yeah.
But, okay, but I don't know if I necessarily buy into that. I see what you're saying, but also Laramie is a very hard place for players to get wins. I mean, now and in the past, you talk about, like, players that have played in the Mountain West before, players that have gone to Laramie. They're always saying that's one of the toughest places to go. We'll see how it pans out.
One thing I've got a question about is, you know, you're saying Hill is a pretty good running back, and he's up there. You know, who's better? Who has a better number two running back? San Diego, they just walked all over us running, or the Wyoming? You know, it's like when he has to take his rest and have someone else come in. You know, San Diego State's running back did pretty good on us, you know, a few times. You know, will the Wyoming's number two running back be able to do that?
Well, yeah, San Diego State's number two guy was the guy that actually tied the game there in the first quarter. We got up and then they busted that like 40-yard run. That'll be interesting to see. I don't really know because I don't know Wyoming well enough to say even who their number two running back is. But that'll be a big part of the game, I think, simply because if Brian Hill's not in the game, that's their main source of offense, really. I mean, their quarterback's good, but he's got even less yardage than Kent Myers this year. So if we can stop or at least hold Brian Hill a little bit to shorter than what he averages, and then when he's not in the game, stuff their offense, that I think is the shot that we have at winning the game.
And here's what I like for Utah State going up against Brian Hill versus Donnell Pumphrey. We're talking about two very different kinds of running backs. Donnell Pumphrey, I mean, if you were at the game especially, you just notice he's just this midget, just this shifty little quick as could be breakthrough the offensive line, untouched somehow, kind of running back, and bust a long one down the field. Brian Hill, he's 6'1", 220 pounds. He's more of your bowling ball, plow through the line kind of guy. And I think that our defense is better equipped to handle that kind of a player than we were with Pumphrey.
The problem is he's just so shifty, like we couldn't even get a hand on him.
Exactly.
I think our problem with Hill is that we haven't exactly been terrific on tackling this year. We've had a lot of times where we've tried to get like a big hit or something. We don't wrap up, and then the guy gets like another 20 yards after the hit. I think that'll be another big thing to watch is if we're able to wrap up, if we're able to kind of hold him down, contain him, because if he gets out, he's gone. He's also got some decent speed.
Right.
So I think we need to tackle well. We need to really just contain him because I don't think we're going to stop him. I think he's easily going to get 100 yards in this game. But minimize his impact on the game and keep him at least from 200 yards.
Okay, so speaking of this game, a lot of the talk that I'm hearing right now is people that are just furious, especially on Twitter, on message boards, all over, people that are just furious about having another 8:30 start time. Not for this game, but for the last home game of the season. This game is an 8:30 start time, but on the road, which I don't think bothers people nearly as much. Is the late start times, is that something that you guys actually have a problem with? I think it's kind of over talked about.
I think there should be kind of a rule against it because I mean we've gotten a lot of late starts this year.
I don't know. I mean, what kind of rule are you gonna make?
Like, make it so that you can't have, like, more than, like, three games or something start after 8 or something like that. I mean, there's some rules kind of like that. There's kind of some rules with that, like, in the NFL. Something similar to that, I think, would be helpful.
Think about that, though. I think that, you know, at a school like Utah State, that would give the, you know, networks a lot harder reason to really go for them to put them on national television. I don't really mind the late starts myself. That way you can actually, you know, you can tailgate all day. You can watch other games all day. It's, you know, you may be getting home at 1 o'clock.
I'm fine with
it. Well, I'm a college student, so 1 o'clock isn't really that exactly late.
Yeah, we're fine with it because we're college students. I mean, we're up till 2 anyways.
No, I mean, yeah, I get it for the family.
Yeah, like that's the kind of thing that I think with, like, we all talked about how many times we went as kids to a Utah State football game. Like, we would go, like, when we were 6 years old, we'd watch Leon Jackson, and we'd be proud of seeing him, even though we'd lose by 50.
DeAndre Burrell.
Exactly. But it's kind of hard to do that for, like, a family that has, like, a 2-year-old or a 5-year-old. If the game starts at 8:30, you have a 4-hour game with, like, a ton of commercial breaks, and you're not even getting home till 1 o'clock. I mean, that's right. Why the Simba cam's, like, in the first quarter, because there's no kids there's no left in the fourth quarter. So
you're right. I am going to say about this, I very, very well remember 5-6 years ago when every game we would play was in the afternoon, it felt like, and people were constantly complaining about that. People were saying, oh, why do we even have lights at the stadium? We never use them.
They're not the afternoons anymore.
Yeah, why we never have games under the lights. That's a reward for the players. They want to play under the bright lights. Okay, well, I mean, now we got that. And now you're going to complain the other way. I agree. There needs to be some sort of a mix. They need to.
Again,
I think it's the Mountain West needs to talk to the networks and renegotiate and say, look, we'll take some of these night games. I love the Thursday night, the Friday night thing. I love those. But they need to have some sort of a balance. Why should Utah State, in the middle of November in Logan, Utah, be hosting an 8:30 start time game?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of my rant for that.
Kind of moving on with the football team, though. I mean, kind of the hidden part with that is nobody would mind an 8:30 start time if we were 6-2, if we were competing for...
No, nobody would mind it, and I don't think that they would happen as much.
Yeah, I mean, we'd obviously be more in primetime spots, probably. But kind of with that as well, what do you guys think the odds are of us, I guess, reaching 6 wins a season? That was kind of the goal, at least at the beginning of the season, was to at least be bowl eligible, at the very least. To do that, we have to be 3-1 over our last 4 games. Do you guys think there's any chance at all of that happening? And, like, what would you give that chance?
The chance that I would give it is a number that also looks like a letter, which is circle-shaped.
8?
No.
There's 2 circles.
Okay, I see what you're saying, but 0. I guess I should have been more specific. 0% chance we're not going to get 6 wins. I'm sorry. I think that we have a few more winnable games on our schedule. There's no question to me. New Mexico is winnable. They're a good team, but they're winnable. Nevada is certainly winnable. BYU and Wyoming, I don't think it's like incredibly far-fetched to think that we could win one of those two. However, I just don't see us winning New Mexico and Nevada and one of those two. No way in my mind that could happen. Not with the recent performance of the team. This just isn't a good team. I'm sorry. It's just not a good team. As much as I would love to see us still get 6 wins, I think that we have a decent shot at getting 5 and still, you know, maybe even potentially making a bowl game if it works out that way and they do so choose to go. But 6, I'd say, is out of the question at this point.
I'll be a little more optimistic on that, and I'll say probably about, you know, 5-8%. But then if we lose to Wyoming,
so 2 O's,
then it'll be if we do lose to Wyoming, it'll probably drop down to like 1% maybe, because I can see maybe BYU, since it is kind of like a more emotional game, and we have, you know, Dallin Levitt's back, and he'll want to, you know, do some real good stuff down there.
Plus, past few years, it's been impossible to predict that game, really.
Yeah, true.
I would go a little bit higher even. I'm going to go higher even than I said before the show. I'd say probably 15% right now. I was just kind of looking through. We don't have the spreads right now, so ESPN's like forecast predictor is the best thing I've got right now. We're actually favored in both New Mexico and Nevada's games.
Okay, but we were a... three-point underdog in the San Diego State game.
Okay, that's not the matchup predictors. We were like 14% chance in those. and the San Diego State game. So, I mean, that gives me hope. Wyoming, like, I think that was like a, we're a 37.9% chance to win. And then BYU, were, ESPN loves BYU, so we have like no shot, according to them. I like our chances to get at least an upset with Wyoming or BYU. I think there's a possibility. I think it's set up well. We perform well at BYU for some reason on the road there. And Wyoming's coming off a big win, which we see time and time again in college football. They sometimes can have a little bit of a down game after those wins. And then New Mexico, Nevada, I think we are at least competitive with those teams. Would I bet money that we're going to be bowl eligible? Heck no, because I'm also poor. But
if
I think there's a chance, at least. I think there's a legitimate chance that the football team should definitely fight for.
Yeah, I mean, even if we – to me, I just I've already said it. Even if we win one of those two that would be considered upsets, I don't see us winning both of Nevada and New Mexico. So I hope I'm wrong, man. I really do.
I want to go to the New Mexico Bowl.
I want to go to Boise. Yeah,
if we go to a bowl, we'll probably go to the Potato Bowl.
Probably. Hey, you know what? You go to the Potato Bowl.
Famous Idaho
Potato Bowl. Let me tell you this. You go to the Potato Bowl, you get a football game, and beyond just a football game, you also get to go to the Taco Bell Arena where you get a free baked potato bar.
I don't get it.
So if you've given up on hope for the football team and you think that we'll go lose to MAC team or whatever, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't care if we lose.
It doesn't change. It doesn't change the fact that you get a free potato bar, which is a pretty solid potato bar too.
And when it's 0 degrees in Boise, that is a really good baked potato.
So I'm saying you pay the gas money to get up there, you get like yourself at like a $20 hotel, buy yourself some cheap tickets for the game off a scalper, and you get a free potato bar.
Sounds good to me.
So I just hope that the team is listening to this, and that they use that as some motivation to get me some food.
Yeah, who cares about the bowl package that you get as a player? We just want potatoes.
Speaking about the Taco Bell and the Taco Bell Arena, today, November 2nd, you can go get a free Doritos taco.
Oh, yeah, Francisco Lindor. I totally forgot about that.
All right, that's what I'm talking about.
Still a base, still a taco.
Okay, so enough football. I mean, I wish that we could talk more about football, but I also wish we had a team that was kind of worth talking about a little bit more. So moving on from that, there's some other good stuff happening in Aggie Athletics right now. And the volleyball team, we've talked about a lot on this show. I guess just because I really like volleyball. It's fun to watch. But the volleyball team, they've kind of struggled a little bit. The last week, they dropped a couple of road games. But they're back at home this week playing the bottom team in the conference in Air Force, which is certainly a should win. That's on Saturday. And then on Thursday, they're playing Boise State,
who's one of the top teams in the conference.
Which is one of the top teams in the conference. And they're really going to need some support. They're really going to need people to turn out. Last time we went up and we played in Boise and they swept us, but it was close in every match. And so they got a pretty good chance in both of these.
Yeah, I think the volleyball team's kind of weird for me because, I mean, you look at them, they're 5-7 in the conference, 10-13 overall. But it's almost kind of one of the most hopeful teams for me this year. Because let's face it, they were really bad last year.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of improvement we've seen is remarkable.
Let's put it this way. We win one more conference game. We have just as much conference games wins this year than we had total wins last year.
Yeah. It's pretty remarkable the improvement that they've made from last year to this year. If you followed them at all last year, it's pretty evident to see. And I'm going to say I really think that the volleyball team next year has a pretty good chance of doing exactly what the soccer team did this year. Jumping from middle of the conference, right now we're like 7th or something in the Mountain West, jumping from there and making a serious improvement to where we're very competitive in the Mountain West. I mean, the team is losing some very key players, some of the starters that it's going to hurt big time, but they've got a really solid bench. Coach DuBose has made an effort to get a lot of the bench players in and get some experience and get a lot of rotation going for the team. So I think that they're in pretty good hands down the road, and I think they continue to improve.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to think that. I mean, especially because you come into the season, there's absolutely no expectations for them.
Right.
I mean, to even just show the fight that they've shown, to be able to play. I mean, beating San Diego State a couple weeks ago, that was a huge win
as well. No question. I mean,
it's just, I don't know, the word's just impressive. I mean, to have a team have no expectations to come out, still fight, and to actually be as good as they are, which, granted, it's still, like you said, middle of the pack in the Mountain West, but that's still miles ahead of where they were just this time 1 year ago.
Yeah, so just to set the table for you, like I said, they've got two more games at home this weekend, Thursday versus Boise State and Saturday versus Air Force. Then they're going on a three-game road trip and then coming home for their final two games of the season versus San Jose State, and then a final out-of-conference game versus Weber State. So four more chances to get out and support the team. Those games are just fun. They're just awesome.
And speaking of challenging for a Mountain West Conference title, the basketball team is starting up this week.
Yeah. A lot of hype about this year's team. A lot of excitement, a lot of hype. I think that having so many new players and so many highly rated recruits is just going to do that for a team. Are you buying into all the hype that they're getting? I mean, not hype from sure, we were picked, weren't we picked sixth in the conference by the coaches? So, I mean, I'd say that's about, you know, about what would be expected. That's certainly not like them giving us a ton of respect, but I'd say just like the general fan buzz that's going on right now and the local media buzz about the team.
I think nobody really knows what this team's really going to be because there are so many new faces. So it's like not really like a bunch of hype for like, oh, we might win the tournament this year or something like that. But it's just like the excitement around Aggie basketball. Like people actually care about this team, it seems, this year. Like I don't personally feel like I've seen the local people around here be this excited about the basketball team since like Ty Wesley or maybe some of those teams back then, like Spencer Nielsen, who's on the staff right now.
I agree. And I think those were the days that they were competing for titles.
I think besides maybe, you know, the four that are returning, maybe the only one they really know about is Kobe, though, right? Because they did have some hype on being a top 100, recruit that's the first time ever for Utah State. But, you know, how many normal Valley people really know, you know, about before, you know, especially at least before the Madness, knew about Norbert Janik?
And I think that was
Barnaba.
I think that was kind of part of the thing with Primetime Madness that was great for the people. There was a decent turnout for that, and I'm sure a lot of people were surprised, like, to see like N'Gour Barnaba win a 3-point contest.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like I think that alone like would have made me excited for the basketball season. So I mean, it's almost kind of like you're saying, like a lot of people don't follow the team like we do. They don't know like Kobe McEwen's like going to be this cool guy. They don't know about like Diego Brito or Darginton or any of these other players. But I think it's just kind of like blind excitement. Like they've, like past couple of years, we've been just kind of mediocre, but we've got all these great players coming in now. There's a lot of excitement. We overachieved, I guess, last year, you could say. So I think there's just a lot of people don't know what to be excited about, but they're excited about it.
Yep. And then, I mean, you also add in, you got a guy like Darren Henson that was essentially a recruit we stole from San Diego State. Just the recruiting class has been awesome, and I cannot give enough props. You could say what you want about how last season turned out and about in-game coaching and antics, and I personally don't feel like there's enough of a sample size to tell how good of a coach Tim Duryea is yet.
Especially because off the cards he was dealt last year weren't terrific.
Exactly, losing your star player right before the season and whatnot. But off the court, I just think that I've seen so many things from Tim Duryea that have just excited me beyond reason. One of those, which I think wasn't very highly publicized, partially because it was designed to be this way, but just this past weekend, the Utah State basketball team went up to Washington State and had a closed-door scrimmage with them, something that we would have never even seen or heard about or considered in the Stu Morrill days. And listen, I'm not bagging on Stu Morrill. I'm just saying I really, really love this idea of going and playing a game with Washington State, even though there's no cameras there. No one's supposed to leak out and say what happened in the scrimmage. I'd so much rather have the team do that and go play a Pac-12 team than be sitting here and playing against Texas, Rio Grande Valley State, university, community college.
Yeah, I think Stu Morrill, I think, was probably a better coach, like, with fundamentals and stuff like that, like, at least from what we've seen so far. But I really like what Tim Deary is doing beyond that, because coaching is much more than just fundamentals. I think he's recruiting much better, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I think his willingness to go play, like, Washington State in a close scrimmage, or go play at Duke last year,
And,
I think,
and
that's
this year,
that's massive.
Setting up, like, the Cancun Challenge this year,
yeah, the Cancun
versus
Challenge.
The Gosner.
But also, I think one of the best things as well, and I think this is partly why the media and people are so excited about the team as well, is because he's more open with the team. I mean, especially, like, with us kind of being with the Statesman, we've kind of heard how much more willing basketball players are, how much willing Tim Deary is to do, like, interviews, to do spots with, like, media stuff, so that people have a good...
Oh, no question.
Like, view, a good opinion of perception. The basketball team as people, not just those, like, oh, they play basketball and then they go do whatever they want afterwards.
Well, and just to the primetime madness, he actually came over to us in the front row and started talking to us because he recognized us from last year and, you know, says he wants us to be, you know, just as loud as we were last year.
Hell.
And Stu Morrill, he would never came over and talked to us like that.
He may have told us to maybe kind of quiet down, maybe.
Yeah.
That might have been it.
Exactly. But I said, no way, coach. So.
Yeah. And so, I don't think that, like, we can't discredit what Stu Morrill did. Stu Morrill is one of the greatest college coaches the state of Utah and the conferences that we played in has ever seen. Stu Morrill was a genius. He would take the players that nobody else wanted and turn them into championship basketball teams. However, I'm so excited with everything that Tim Duryea is doing with this team, whether it's just for the perception or whether it's things that I feel like are personally going to translate onto the court. Like, obviously, getting higher rated recruits and things like that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for this season I want to see, like, obviously, I want to see is contend for the championship. Like, that's the gold plated view I have. But I want to see that Tim Duryea has, like, that coaching chops in game, that stuff that Stu Morrill did have. I want to, because, like I said last year, the hand he was dealt wasn't that great, losing David Collette 2 days before the season. A lot of the players that already left. Yeah, losing. I mean, so now that he's got a full cupboard here, he's got a couple good seniors with Rector, Pierre, Moore, and then
Perry.
He's got, like, Perry. I always mess that up. But then you bring in Kobe, Darginton, Brito, Henson, Janicek. He's got a lot of options here. I want to see if he can actually utilize them and actually maximize them the way that Stu Morrill maximized all the players that he was given.
Yeah, so I've been dreaming about basketball season for months now. It's finally here.
Pretty much, since we lost to Air Force in football.
Right. I guess you could call it basketball season, but we start with a scrimmage this weekend, Friday night versus Southern Virginia, which
BYU Eastern.
Yeah, Southern Virginia is Southern Virginia, so, and it's a exhibition, so it's not too much to, like. You know, typically, we're going to go and preview the teams that we're playing a little bit more and talk about what we got coming up. But Southern Virginia, I don't really feel like digging into the personal backstories of some of their players.
Yeah. As long as we don't lose to them like we did last year with the, like, Riverside State College University of Technical Institute, I'll be hopeful.
Okay, but you know what? The thing is, even if we do, it doesn't matter. It's
yeah.
a practice. So, I'm not going to get too hyped up about this or anything, but I am excited to go out and see the boys in action. And then next week, they're going to have UC Irvine, which, you know, we saw what happened last year with UC Irvine. They're very, very talented team. So, we're getting right here into the start of basketball season, get these dang exhibition games out of the way, and I can finally let loose and get some Aggie basketball going.
And hopefully they win and give us a reason to cheer.
Yeah. So just to close out the show, like we always do, we're going to go over the Aggie calendar real quick and just what we've got coming up in Utah State Athletics. And we've already talked about most of these things, just going throughout the show and talking about each individual team. But as we mentioned, so the women's soccer team is going to be out into action Thursday at 5:00 p.m. They're playing UNLV, the number one team in the conference, for a chance to move on to the championship game. If they do advance the championship game, that'll be on Saturday. I'd imagine around the same time, but I'm not sure. But that game you can catch, I think any Aggie event really is available for stream on the Mountain West Network. So tune into that and
like we also
Watch us compete for a championship, man.
And like we also said, Friday night, men's basketball, the opening scrimmage kind of game against Southern Virginia. Friday night, 7 p.m. at the Spectrum. So come out, see what this team actually is, playing against a team not just the blue and white team.
And also tomorrow for the volleyball, just before or while you're waiting for it to start, you can watch the women's soccer. That starts at 5 p.m. Watch that on Mountain West Network and watch them play UNLV, get a spot into the championship.
Yeah, and then right after that, the volleyball game starts at 7 o'clock p.m. versus Boise State. And Saturday, volleyball is back in action against Air Force at 7 o'clock p.m.
And because we kind of have to, football does play at 15 p.m. on Saturday. Don't let that spoil your weekend, though. Because women's basketball will come back on Sunday and beat Colorado State Pueblo in their kind of opening scrimmage kind of game. And hopefully make us a little bit happier.
Colorado State Pueblo. Didn't know that was a school.
Pueblo's a nice place, though, at least.
Yeah. So, anyway, again, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate anybody listening to this, even when Aggie sports aren't looking as good as they have it at sometimes. You know, it's always good to hear about the other sports that are doing so well. So, we're going to keep coming at you every week with Aggie Sports Podcast, talk about what's going on with all of our different teams, especially as basketball gets going here a little bit more. We'll talk a little bit more about them and what's going on with their season. But thanks for tuning in. This is Section 119. Find us on Twitter @119Sports.